to order. It's January 14th. Let's start by some introductions of the staff to the committee members and those in the audience. To my right is the counsel of the committee, Chris Stang. You could raise and wave. To my left is Faye Sparks, the committee administrator. And obviously, these people I'm talking about are going to listen to all of us. I mean, they're not just the DFL staff or the. So if you have any questions, you go right to them. Committee LA, Isaac Russell. Handsome boy to the left here. Mike Laurent, committee clerk. Dan Mueller, fiscal analyst. He's watching something else. And intern Paul Ellison. Who is he? Where's Paul?
He's coming late.
He got to show up on time. With that, I think we'll go around the horn. There's a couple of new members on the committee, and introduce yourself. And this is not the committee whole hour's worth of introducing yourself, so just going to. Vice Chair.
Senator Vicki Jensen. I live in Owatonna. I have an insurance agency there, and I'm looking forward to working on the Commerce Committee. Thank you.
Senator Kevin Dahl, Senate District 20, Northfield, back on the Commerce Committee after a two-year absence.
Senator Gary Dames, Redwood Falls, Minnesota, Senate District 16, and I was on the Commerce Committee the last 2 years, and appreciate the opportunity to serve in the Commerce Committee again. I'm a retired insurance agent from Redwood Falls.
Dave Brown, Senate District 15, Becker, Minnesota, and I'm looking forward to working with Senator Mitzen on the Commerce, and I am also an insurance agent.
Karen Housley, Senate District 39, Stillwater Forest Lake area. I own a real estate business and a hockey training facility in Stillwater.
Originally from South St. Paul, Minnesota.
Senator Eric Pratt from Senate District 55, Prior Lake, Shakopee, and Jordan, and I have a background in banking.
Senator Jim Carlson from District 51 in Eagan and Burnsville, and I was here 4 years, 2 years ago for 4 years, and I'm a retired engineer from 3M.
And Senator Reinert is not here,
but at least I made it in time. Senator Sandy Pappas from St. Paul, welcome to my district, everyone who doesn't know that already. And been in the legislature for a zillion years, like 28 years, my 29th year. Is that right? And I've been on the Commerce Committee also for many years, and looking forward to it and to the issues that we have to deal with. It's always a very interesting committee.
So good.
Senator Paul Gazelka, this is my third term in the one of the two legislative bodies. Always been on Commerce. I find the issues we deal with important to help the job creators and consumer protection as well. My background is insurance, and this is fun. I'm going to have fun.
Might add that you're our lead for the Republican Party in this committee, but I'm told that we have from the governor's office covering consumer issues. Will Suffert? Seifert? Yeah, stand up and smile. Yeah, handsome boy. Okay, I'm Senator Jim Mitzen. I haven't been on this committee for the last 4 or 5 years, but I've been on it for maybe 10 or 12 over the years, and I'm a retired realtor and a retired banker and a retarded. No. So we, what you're going to find out, I think, in this committee is we do our work, and we're very serious about our work, but once in a while we lighten up a little bit, smell the flowers. So if we do that, take it in the right vein, would you? But there's a sheet here that talks about our jurisdiction. I'd like you to look it over, and obviously insurance, financial, licensing, occupational licensing, the Department of Commerce, securities, miscellaneous department stuff, consumer protection, liquor, and probably more than that. But that's a full plate we have. And we've got a lot on the table in this committee. And one of the bigger things, most issues are important, of course, but this committee is going to have at least two or three hearings on the affordable health care stuff. And that's very deep stuff, and so we're going to be looking at that extensively. I think our committee is probably 50-60% of that bill, the affordable health care. Some people call it the Obama bill, but her care. But if you don't like it, that's too bad, but it's the law of the land, so I think we should try to cooperate and make the best bill we can out of it, in my opinion, rather than having the federal government do it for us. So I would encourage everybody on the committee to kind of work hand in hand, Republicans, Democrats, get a bill out that we're all not going to be 100% happy with it. I understand that, but I would hope you'd all participate because we're going to do something. And over the years, I've always found out that we can usually do a better job in Minnesota than shipping it out east. So that's that. We'll have a lot of bills introduced on the foreclosure stuff. We've done a lot on that in the last few years, but so we'll be looking at a lot of those bills. With that, we're going to go overview, Commissioner Rothman. Commerce Department Commissioner, and needs to get some of his staff, I'm sure, here too, would kind of give us a little overview of the commissioner. And I have met a couple of times, but I haven't seen, we'll see what if he's got some ideas for us today, if he's presenting some legislation or what. But welcome to the Commerce Committee, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got three microphones here, so I can talk loudly. Within your packets, first of all, I want to say Happy New Year to everybody, and it's good to see all of you again from the Department of Commerce. And, over the interim, since last session, I've worked with a lot of folks here.
Commissioner, just for the record, state your name.
For the record, again, Mike Rothman, Commerce Commissioner. There's several materials in your packets. One is an overview. Another is accomplishments. And then we also have sort of a fact sheet. I'll be talking and speaking from a lot of them, but the main one is this one with the slides at the beginning here. This is the main overview document. And
that's the orange one, the agency overview. Okay.
Yeah. So, again, thank you for having me today. I'll talk to you about the Department of Commerce, our staff, what we do, and get into all of that. So, as you know, the Department of Commerce has an overriding mission, and with that, a number of responsibilities for regulating the commercial markets and all that. But essentially, boiling it all down, we are here to protect the public interest. We advocate for Minnesota's consumers. We ensure a strong and competitive and fair marketplace. Our goal, overridingly, is to make sure that Minnesota has a strong economy, strong a place for jobs, and that our financial institutions are working well and sound. And that, last but not least, but most importantly, we serve as a trusted public resource for consumers and businesses, and of course, you as legislators, for all the information that we have. I can't tell you since I've started, working with our staff and all the knowledge that they have and everything that they do, not only is a resource for me, it's a resource for you, it's a resource for the public, and we take pride in giving that and being there for all of you for the information that we do. The department, in essence, in all that we do, has a number of financial sectors that we regulate and a lot of transactions throughout the economy. While I'm going through this, you can see, just looking at the fact sheet, we, for the financial sector on the bank, credit union, and finance company side, oversee assets of $53 billion. On the securities investment advisor assets regulated, it's $5.3 billion. Of the insurance company assets, it's $258 billion. And we license a ton of professionals and entities. In essence, we regulate 20-plus industries. The major ones you're all familiar with, it's banking, securities, insurance. We also regulate the real estate marketplace, mortgage originators, folks in the appraisal area. And then on the non-financial institution side, we are also the regulator for the energy and telecommunications side, along with the Public Utilities Commission. We have, in fact, a presentation to an overview over in the House at 12:30, where some of our staff will be giving an overview. I'll touch on it a little bit here. We also have a significant say on the energy and telecommunications sectors as well. The department licenses approximately 190,000 individual professionals. Those are real estate agents, insurance agents, appraisers, and then tens of thousands of entities, insurance companies, banks, totaling 350,000 folks that we oversee. We provide consumer affairs services. We also have a consumer response team, as well as fraud investigators that work on a lot of claims and complaints and issues throughout the marketplace. We advocate for the public interest before the regulatory body, so that's primarily the Public Utilities Commission. But we also interface with a lot of other regulatory entities in the 50 states. For example, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the banking entities, state bank supervisors, and a number of others. And then we also, through our energy side, deliver federal and state energy and telecommunications programming. So a lot of federal dollars that we administer and oversee at the Department of Commerce. We know, Mr. Chair and members, that we will be working on budget matters as well, but this is primarily to give you an overview. We didn't throw those numbers in here, although we're happy to talk about those, but we thought we'd get into that when we get into the budget matters as we go along. If you turn the page, you can see the leadership of the department and many of these folks, in fact, all of them are here somewhere in the Capitol. Emily Johnson Piper is here when I called your name. Emily is the Deputy Commissioner and Chief of Staff for the department, overseeing internally for me a lot of the matters that we do. Bill Horlitz has been here, been with the state for many, many years. Bill's right here and oversees the banking and the credit unions for the department, for the state. Along with Bill is Mary Jo Wall, the Assistant Commissioner. I don't know if Mary's here. Mary Jo's here. And on the insurance side, we have Assistant Commissioner Tim Vandehey. Tim joined us from Wisconsin, so I'm very happy and pleased Tim is with us. A very senior fellow who understands insurance as well as anybody. Bill Grant is the Deputy of Energy. Bill's over giving that presentation in the House. They're starting at 12:30. Dennis Ehlers is with us. Dennis is over here, Assistant Commissioner of Energy and Telecommunications, primarily focusing on the reliability of our energy sector and as well the telecommunications area. Dennis comes from the private sector, but also worked for the Attorney General for many, many years. And a recent member of our team is Nancy Lepik, the Assistant Commissioner of Enforcement. Is Nancy here? Nancy's over here. Very pleased to have Nancy. She was recently in Washington, D.C., working for the Secretary of Labor. But before that, with the state of Minnesota for many years as general counsel to one of the state agencies, and then also worked for the Attorney General staff for many years before that. I can't proceed to the next slide without telling you, though, that we have about 330 or so approximately staff. Is Tim with us today? I also want to introduce Tim Janke. Tim is the CFO of the Department of Commerce, works in all the numbers, but he also oversees a couple of our major programs like unclaimed property and the Petro Fund. And Tim would have these nailed down as of today or pretty close, but we're right around 325, 330 employees, not including those that were in the health insurance exchange or are in the health insurance exchange and that were now transferred over to MMB. So with that, why don't we delve down into some of these divisions and units and give you a sense of a little bit more specific oversight in what we do. On the financial institution side, we regulate and do examinations and licensing of the state chartered banks. That includes maintaining the list maintaining, first of all, the credit rating, working with the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, the OCC, and the other federal regulatory entities to make sure that our financial bank institutions are safe and sound. We have field staff that are on a regularly examining the banks to make sure that they're on course. We've been monitoring the banks ever since, of course, and working with the banks ever since the beginning of the downturn. And as we came out of it, and as the economy is getting better, making sure that those financial institutions are strong. And when they're not, we work with them to find stability and a better financial footing, and we work on all those. I just overview some of the numbers are that things are getting better. We've sort of seen a turn in the corner in terms of our state bank institutions. The actual numbers, without delving down into them, are showing a little bit better trending in terms of the financials of the state banks. The overall list of Minnesota has one of the highest number of state banks in the country for states with state banks. Since the last year and the year before, the number of institutions that are on our watch list has gradually decreased. And we are seeing fewer and fewer failure situations or mergers due to financial issues. 2-3 years ago was a much worse situation, and we definitely see positive trends happening. That's not to say, though, that there aren't some difficulties. There are some underlying issues. What the state banks will look like in 5 years from now is something that we're all looking at. We also oversee the credit unions, same issues, same things that we do there. Mortgage companies, finance companies, and other financial institutions like mortgage originators and all of that. That gives you a broad overview of our financial institutions area. On the insurance side, like financial institutions, one of the things that I did when I first started at the Department of Commerce was reorganize on the insurance side so that all of our insurance staff, for the most part, are under one umbrella right now under Tim Vandehey. And then as well, there are some other insurance functions that are out there that we regulate. So the enforcement side of it, that's under Nancy. And then there's collaboration among some of our other divisions that we work on together. The Department of Commerce is Minnesota's insurance regulator. We evaluate the insurance policies to make sure that they're in compliance with state law. We also review all of the rates that go into the insurance policies that as they're introduced into the marketplace, depending upon the kind of policy they are. We make sure that there's fairness and compliance with our statutes, and our staff work very hard to keep pace, as I say, with the pace of with the economy and the marketplace, to make sure that we are working as hard as we can to keep up with all of the new products and everything that happen, to make sure that they're there for consumers, businesses, and all of Minnesotans, so that they have those products for them. The department also does licensing. We examine and we regulate both domestic and the foreign insurance companies to make sure that they are meeting our solvency requirements and safety and soundness. Our staff is on a regular basis going through and making sure that the financials are looking good. When there are issues, we work with the companies to resolve them and to get them into a better place. One of our overriding goals is to make sure that we have a strong and competitive and fair marketplace, to make sure that if there are companies that are not playing by the rules or playing unfairly, that we're there to make sure that it's there. Oftentimes we work with other companies to make sure that the marketplace is in a fair and good situation. For the last two slides, let me just comment on this too. The insurance commissioner or the insurance division and the financial institutions area, we've put it on our accomplishments for 2012, and we made a note, and you'll see see them. But I am proud to say that the NAIC this year, just recently, reaccredited. It's a five-year cycle of reaccreditation for the Department of Commerce in Minnesota. We have to meet certain standards and requirements, and we pass with flying colors, and happy to say that we have that reaccreditation. And then as well, the CSBS on the banking side reaccredited the financial institutions side for the banking activities that we do. So it's a great credit to the staff and all the work that they do and did to get the materials prepared and everything that we have internally at the department and reviewed so that we could, you know, for Minnesota, we've got a top-notch regulator and recognized so by these regulatory accreditation entities. So let's turn to energy. Energy has, I'd say, at the top of my head, it's got 80-plus employees on that side, and it's onto itself a relatively significant part of the Department of Commerce. On the energy side, we ensure that the energy service is fair and reliable and reasonably priced, minimizing adverse environmental impacts. All of this is from a we come at it from representing and speaking on behalf of Minnesotans on the public interest, particularly with respect to a lot of the matters that are in front of the PUC. The PUC makes the decisions on a lot of these things, but we do a lot of the work behind the scenes in terms of the financial analysis, the energy marketplace, and all the rates and everything that are out there. So we advocate on behalf of consumers and the ratepayers in those proceedings before the PUC. We also oversee the conservation improvement program that's operated by the public and municipal and cooperative utilities. The CIP program has helped Minnesota maintain its energy efficiency goals to stay abreast of its to stay on top of the energy standard, and as well to make sure that we are meeting our goals to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. We also maintain an emergency planning and recovery portion of the state's portfolio. So, for example, in the event that there were an emergency, the Department of Commerce helps staff homeland security and disaster preparedness. One of the things that we do throughout the department is to make sure that in any disaster, we're being responsive to consumers, businesses, and the public. So, for example, when we've had the Minneapolis tornado disaster, when we had the flooding in Duluth last year, the Department of Commerce mobilizes its staff to help and to work with legislators to make sure that you have the information that you need and to make sure that the market is responding quickly to consumer needs and complaints. As well, on the energy side, we do everything we can to help consumers and to work on their matters. And then turning the page, some of the things that we do as well, there's Minnesota Department has the weatherization program for the state of Minnesota. We do energy efficiency in buildings, conservations, alternative transportation fuels, so that's biofuels, and we work with the Department of Agriculture, the Pollution Control Agency, and others sort of in a collaborative effort overseeing and monitoring a lot of the fuel supply in Minnesota. We also administer the low-income home energy assistance program, the LIHEAP program. That program helps Minnesota consumers who have difficult time paying their bills. We work with the cold weather rule, for example, and for all of those people that are struggling during this month and the entire winter month to make sure that they can meet to the best that they can their home energy needs and their bills. Turning to the telecommunications division, like the energy division, we at the department are responsible for overseeing a portion of the telecommunications regulatory responsibilities in collaboration with other telecommunication regulatory entities, including the Public Utilities Commission and the federal agencies that that are overseeing and regulating the telecommunications sector. So think of it this way, that in the old days there was the telephone companies, they were landlines and all of that, and Minnesota continues to oversee a lot of the telephone company operations in tandem with the federal regulators. But on top of that, in the modern age, we have the internet and broadband, we have wireless, cable, and all that. So there's a multi-layered jurisdiction between us and other regulators over the telecommunications sector. So part of the telecommunications arena is regulated by the Department of Commerce. We weigh in on a lot of matters at the Public Utilities Commission. Again, we advocate on behalf of Minnesotans in the public interest. We also focus on promoting competition among the telephone companies and making sure that there is competition in the marketplace. We do investigations if there are any issues or complaints in the telecommunications arena. It happens from time to time. We're monitoring compliance with some of the federal regulations as they've been implemented. We enforce the telecommunications regulations. And then as we started in the administration, we beefed up the broadband staffing and facilitated and helped the governor's broadband task force develop telecommunications recommendations over the last year and a half. The Department of Commerce does house the Office of Broadband Development that was part of an executive order that the governor signed off on. So we have dedicated staff on broadband issues, and we work collaboratively with an entity called Connect Minnesota that helps us gather data, information, and map the telecommunications, the internet services that are being provided to Minnesotans. And as folks know, broadband, there is a statute which has broadband goals for speed and accessibility in Minnesota. Those statutory goals are sort of our overall roadmap for making sure we have broadband in Minnesota. The department tracks that data, and we measure how far along we are. We also have been monitoring the stimulus funds, the ERA funds that were spent in Minnesota in terms of some major projects that have been deployed in Minnesota. So we've monitored that and made sure that, you know, we understand progress on those projects so that we can be a place for this gathering of information at the state level working on broadband development for Minnesota. So the Governor's Broadband Task Force was chaired by former Speaker Margaret Anderson Kelleher and some terrific Minnesota citizens, so look for those conversations. The department also oversees and manages the Telecommunications Access Minnesota program, the TAM program. These are dollars that go towards helping hearing, basically those folks, the hearing impaired, with telephone services and access. It's a very successful program, and they do an amazing job to make sure that people who have a hard time getting access to phones and things like that have technology to be able to access those resources in Minnesota. The next page, we give you a little bit of a high overview of our enforcement division. Now, while we do insurance, we have the Division of Insurance and Banking and Securities. We do the real estate stuff and all that. Think of the enforcement division as sort of a multi-industry group of staff that work on a variety, not just one particular industry of enforcement activities. Within the enforcement divisions, there are three primary units. One is our enforcement and investigation staff. They focus on a variety of industries. They do market conduct examinations. You know, if there's any fraud that's happening, they'll work on a lot of that activity, non-criminal related. We also have the securities unit or division is within this enforcement area. And then we also have the insurance fraud division, the IFD, which is these are licensed police officers who do work on criminal investigations. And then let me touch on a little bit of each one of these, but I'll work backwards. The insurance fraud division last year and started even before when I started have tackled some major criminal activity in Minnesota and as well some smaller activity and complaints and issues. But the highlight, it's noted in our materials on accomplishments, includes taking on and working with the Hennepin County Prosecutor's Office to staff the investigation for the criminal indictment charging and eventually the conviction of what was known as the beatdown posse, which was a Gustafson outfit in North Minneapolis and had some origination in the Hells Angels group. At the end of the day, they were doing some major criminal activity. So think of it this way. It was first identified as a insurance fraud case. They were burning houses down, turning in their insurance claims. The houses happened to be ones that were purchased as straw buyer purchases to use them for about a year, year and a half for growing marijuana, criminal activity, and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They also owned a surety bond company. We closed that down. And essentially what they were doing was bonding out criminals, going and beating them up and taking their money and paraphernalia. But at the end of the day, our investigators worked with the Minneapolis Police Department and very strong teams working to make sure that those folks were eventually convicted. We oversee a broad range of licensed occupations, so not only the insurance agents and brokers, we also have stockbrokers, investment advisors, real estate agents, debt collectors are overseen by our folks, and the mortgage originators. We also do the securities registration in Minnesota, so any securities that are sold in Minnesota's marketplace be registered first. And then let me turn to an area which we beefed up since I started, which is the securities examination area. If you'll remember, part of the Dodd-Frank reform was to transfer the regulatory oversight of a larger portion of investment advisors to the states. And the SEC worked over the last 2 years to make that transfer happen. And as of last fall, those transfers did occur to Minnesota. So we now regulate in Minnesota. It used to be $25 million and under of assets under management. That was raised from $25 million to $100 million in assets under management. So any investment advisors with those kinds of dollars are now under the state's jurisdiction, and we needed to increase the number of staff in our examination to be able to accommodate that. We've probably got somewhere between, I think I know that we have the exact numbers, but it's about 80 or so new entities that we regulate. We now, as I had indicated earlier, now go up to $5.3 billion in investment advisors' assets that we regulate in Minnesota. And we worked collaboratively with the investment advisor community to have an examination program launched under the direction of Robert Moylanen, who is the director of our securities unit. Is Bob here with us? I don't know if he made it up here. So Bob Bob has done a terrific job to make sure that Minnesota is in a good spot in terms of our examination and oversight of our investment advisors. And as well, we have the enforcement area. So we do, I'm turning next to the market conduct and consumer complaints area. We, as you know, receive hundreds and thousands of complaints just from consumers every year. We also have examinations in the marketplace for market conduct, particularly on the insurance side, but also in other areas. We have some pending major enforcement activity that's currently out there. We've resolved a lot, and we work and try to work as well as we can collaboratively with the regulated entities and individuals to find a fair resolution of a lot of the issues that are out there. So with that, let me turn to the next page. Here we have this is sort of the administration division. Again, this is overseen by Tim Janke. It includes the internal financial side of things. Our internal controls are in this area, our oversight internally in the department. And then we also have our licensing area. So this is a multi-industry function where we have 190,000 professionals licensed in Minnesota. This area also oversees the unclaimed property unit. And the old days, the unclaimed property area used to be, I think, at the treasurer's office, and it was migrated over to the Department of Commerce years and years and years ago. The unclaimed property unit collects all that property that's out there that's escheated to the state of Minnesota. It's millions of dollars. We do a lot of work to make sure that there's compliance, that dollars that are identified as unclaimed property are turned over to the state of Minnesota. But most importantly, one of my strongest goals and efforts over the last year, year and a half, is to make sure that Minnesotans who are owed their dollars get their money back. And we've worked very diligently to improve all of our claim processing. We've also beefed up the publication of the unclaimed property stuff. And we've given back a record number of dollars to consumers for unclaimed property. I think generally the numbers off the top of my head don't hold me to these, but we have them. Is we've brought in well over $60 million worth of unclaimed property. We've given back around $19 million. But it's about an 8% increase in the amount of money that we've been able to give back to Minnesotans. We also instituted a phenomenal program for lower dollar unclaimed property amounts, so that if you, anybody, family, relatives, or any of your constituents have unclaimed property and they meet and can be expedited in the low dollar range, or where they don't need a lot of verification, they can get their money back the same day. They just go onto the website, punch in their information, find their, the unclaimed property, and the check is electronically produced, transmitted, and sent to them. On the more complicated cases, that won't happen, but at the same time, we've prided ourselves in turning that around. I also have to thank Tim and his staff. A lot of these staff are working a little bit harder, a lot harder, to make sure that those dollars are getting administered. And the program is working very well today. And we will be previewing, I think, in the spring, every so often we have an auction for unclaimed property, and that will be happening. The Division of Administration, we also have the internal operations, the financial and human resources side of the Department of Commerce, and then also the information management services and the technical support are there. Let me turn to another division within that administration unit that's overseen, and that's our Weights and Measures Division. It's a little-known jewel in the state of Minnesota. It In essence, the Weights and Measures Division was and is the state's first consumer protection unit. It was under the old railroad agency back in the good old days. But they do primarily two things. On the one side, they weigh all of the things that happen in commerce in the state of Minnesota. So if you go to your grocery store, they'll make sure that those scales are properly weighed. Our unit is known in the upper Midwest and throughout the nation as one of the best for calibrating scales throughout the country. And so everything from what's weighed on railroad cars and being able to calibrate the quantities of goods that are happening in the commerce of Minnesota to the tiniest of minuscule scales. The smallest scale that we have is very, very small and can weigh things that, you know, are extremely small. But we also measure the fuel supply. So if you look at the gas pumps, the petroleum that's flowing through all Minnesota, and to make sure that when it says 87, you're getting 87 or 92, that's the responsibility of our Weights and Measures Unit.
Commissioner, how does it work when they put that pot roast on the scale and they're pushing their thumb down on there? I mean, you can't have people everywhere, I know that. Sauce Paulie used to do that. The meat market I went to, they put that beef roast on there and when you kind of put their thumb on there. And
I send Tim out,
with the hidden camera?
If Tim can't handle it, we send Bill Horlitz out there and we get all right, our stuff.
Right. Now you convinced me you're watching them all. Okay. Yep.
But at the end of the day, that unit is just phenomenal. It's down at Burnsville. It's a separate entity, and they do a terrific job. They also interface on the biodiesel and the ethanol area. So we oversee or make sure that as we transform from E5 to E10 and E15. The regulatory responsibility and oversight over those fuel supplies are at the Department of Commerce. And from time to time, it should happen that in the spring and the fall, when we have tight fuel supplies, the department takes a very close look and eye in making sure that if there's terminal outages or anything of that nature, we're on top of it and we work with the wholesalers and distributors to make sure that the fuel is getting to where it needs to be in Minnesota. So that's that gives you a flavor of our Weights and Measures Unit and all that. Let me also, to the next page you'll see, we manage the state's petroleum storage tank cleanup program, which works with the Pollution Control Agency on remediation. And we also work to remove the abandoned underground petroleum storage tanks across Minnesota. That's primarily overseen by the Petro Fund, but we have a number of staff that have for years and years worked on that cleanup. There's still issues out there, but there's a lot of great work that's already been done, so we do that. That kind of gives you an overview. And then, you know, Mr. Chair, of course, if there is any of that stuff happening in your area, please let me know because I want to make sure that we have a fair market.
Pretty honest people out our way in Dakota County.
Yeah. I know, Mr. Chair, that you had requested that we kind of touch on, sort of give you sort of a flavor for the Affordable Care Act and some of the stuff that...
Let me just announce, Commissioner, Wednesday we're going to have at least a two-hour meeting on this whole... An overview.
That's on the exchange.
On the exchange. So that's part of what you're hitting on now. So that's we'll talk about that later, but that's very, very, very important issue to this committee in the state of Minnesota, the affordable health care and the exchange stuff. Go ahead. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I couldn't agree more. And as the members know that have been working on these issues over the last couple of years, the Department of Commerce, as the regulator of insurance, oversees a large swath of the ACA and the implementation of a lot of the things that are happening. Just to take off from that point, when the administration started, the governor asked asked me and the Department of Commerce to incubate and oversee the planning and design phase of the exchange. Once the exchange last fall reached sort of around in the August-September range, reached a sort of a point where it was beginning to, where we needed to operationalize it and start getting bigger dollars, more staffing, it was readily apparent that instead of just being the planning and development phase, we were moving ahead in a direction that needed to be separated from the oversight and regulatory responsibilities of the Department of Commerce. In large part because it's a market participant, and the Department of Commerce will oversee a lot of the activities of the exchange. I know you'll get a presentation of that, but at the same time, the department staff in our insurance division has worked with the exchange staff collaboratively since then to make sure that the transition from the Department of Commerce to MMB happened without a hiccup, absolutely none. It's been a seamless transition between our staff and theirs to make sure that the administration of the dollars and HR responsibilities and all that happened seamlessly. And that has been successful. And then at the same time, as we move forward on the exchange, we would obviously have a conversation with some of the aspects of the development of the exchange. But then if you want to step back, too, there's the broader aspects of the Affordable Care Act, and we've put out in the next couple of slides some of the provisions that members know about and just sort of a refresher a little bit about the significant items that that are on our plates, both from the legislative perspective and the regulatory perspective, and then what's happening nationwide and in Minnesota with respect to the implementation of those issues. So on this first page, our staff have listed, at your request, sort of the provisions that have already been implemented. And so this is, again, a little bit of a refresher. Excuse me. But there's the elimination of the lifetime maximums on the insurance health side, restrictions on the annual maximums. If you recall, there's the no pre-existing condition exclusion for kids that's been implemented. The next item is relatively a big item, the coverage of young adults to age 26. So those stay on as dependents on those families' health insurance policies. There's been restrictions on rescissions. There's also been enhanced internal appeal and external review process. Minnesota already had those, but there's been enhancements. The implementation of no cost sharing for preventive care has happened. The medical loss ratio requirements with rebates also happened. Minnesota was actually the model. Let me just pause for a minute on the medical loss ratios nationwide. We had medical loss ratio regulation in Minnesota for many, many years. So the national standard was modeled in a large part on the statutory, and our department staff worked with folks on the implementation to make sure that this went smoothly. There were rebates announced last year. So for states that did not have medical loss ratios and implemented them, they received a larger number of rebates, but Minnesota and Minnesotans did receive a large portion of rebates that went back to them last fall. So that medical loss ratio has been implemented, and it will continue to be so. There's been enhanced rate review process. There's actually some federal grant dollars that the Department of Commerce applied for to help us in anticipation of the increased amount and volume of reviews that the department has to do, especially in particular this coming spring, to anticipate an increased volume of health insurance plans, particularly those that are going to be approved for sale on the exchange. So we've got some of that. We have the PCIP plan, we have doctor choice and ER access, and then summary of benefits and coverage. These are all ACA requirements that we've been working on to make sure that we're ahead of the curve. But then looking ahead, and these are some of the issues that for 2014 and beyond, sort of on that timeline scale that are next in line for implementation. Some of these you're familiar with. The guarantee issue requirement, making sure that they are, that the policies are guaranteed to be issued. No pre-existing conditions exclusions will be implemented nationwide in Minnesota. There will be a requirement to have health and health coverage. As you all know, that's the mandate that the United States Supreme Court approved. And then a significant item that's on our radar screen is what's known as the essential health benefits set. The essential health benefits set under the ACA sets out 10 buckets of minimum requirements for essential health benefits that have to be incorporated into all health insurance policies, both inside and outside of the exchange. Those benefits, the actuarial values that go into those are all being worked on, and we're receiving guidance even as we speak from the federal government in terms of how those are implemented. The Department of Commerce's
excuse me, Senator Brown, did you have a...
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Yeah,
Chair.
That's fine. I should have said that earlier. Just speak up if you want to, as we go along.
Commissioner, in regards to the essential health benefits, what the federal is requiring and what you would foresee being in those buckets at the state level, could you send us an electronic version of everything that falls into that category?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good
question. We'll do that even right as we get out of the committee. There's a package of materials that we have put together, and there's a link on our website that has, as of last week, pretty much an update on all where everything is in terms of the selection process for essentially what's in Minnesota, which is where one of the things I just should comment on here is that the HHS set the essential health benefit package and determined and said that for all states, including Minnesota, we have the option to choose among four alternative plans. And if a state does not pick one of those plans, there's a default selected. And the default right now in Minnesota is a plan that is put out by Health Partners, which is the largest small group market plan that's out there. And we have the specifics on that, and we'll send that around to everybody so you're all up to speed on all of that. We also did a comparison and study of how this interplays with the mandate, Minnesota mandates. But for the committee's sake and for those that haven't heard this, in essence, there's as of a certain date, any mandate that had been in Minnesota statute is locked in as part of the package and is part of the default plan for Minnesota. After that date, anything that's added on by law would have to be paid for by the state of Minnesota. But we've looked carefully at that, and we also work collaboratively with Minnesota or the governor's health reform task force, our staff, to understand what the essential health benefit is, and then to work with the U.S. federal HHS in, giving them the information they need to determine what would be Minnesota's default plan for the state of Minnesota for the essential health benefits set.
Senator Kozelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Rothman, this is really for the next meeting, and you answered one of them about the mandates, but I would like to have some sort of breakdown about how the federal dollars that were given to Minnesota were spent. And then secondly, when you come back next time, what has happened to health insurance rates in Minnesota since the passing of the Affordable Care Act? So I don't know that I really want them now because this is...
We'll get into detail on that the next meeting. But now you've asked the commissioner what you're looking for, so he'll try to find. I'm going to say for one more time, this is the biggest change in healthcare in, what, the last 60, 70 years.
At a minimum.
It's humongous. And it really is important that this committee, that the major jurisdiction over this whole thing, really does our due diligence and really look at this stuff and how we can make the law. We've seen the bill, and it's, in my opinion, pretty general. And in my opinion, it gives too much authority to weigh to this new, my opinion, committee. I think we're the ones elected to make some of these decisions. So I want you all to roll up your sleeves and kind of take a look at that. Once it leaves us, it leaves the Minnesota Senate and the Minnesota House, it could go out looking like a chicken and come back looking like a frog or something, you know. You know, but I think we should have our fingerprints all over the new legislation. So we'll be doing a little bit of homework. Lobbyists aren't all evil. Well, some are. but listen, you know, listen to the players out there, and we're going to be looking for amendments too. So, but I think we should say that we should do our work right here too, and not pass the ball like the bill kind of says to me that like we're doing. I don't want to do that. We're going to make some decisions in this committee and in the Minnesota Senate. Okay, with that, I think you've wrapped up. Is that correct?
Pretty close. Mr. Chair, just on that point, I just want to make sure that, again, as I started, the department staff are ready and they're available for you, Mr. Chair, and anybody on the and your staff in your caucus, and then for any of you who want any more additional information, any of you senators who want to just contact us, we're happy to facilitate and be a resource for you to understand and get the information that you need for any of the work that you're doing.
Any questions of the commissioner? Yeah. One thing I've noticed, and I think you've got a good start on it, is this fraud investigation area. I was at that same seminar that you were at, Commissioner, for a while, and I think if I recall the number correctly, it's like 15 to 20% of our premiums are because of fraud. Is that kind of close? So the more we can bang down on that fraud stuff, the better off all of our ratepayers are going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so I don't know the exact number.
I think maybe ask some of these insurance people on our committee, but I bet you a buck it's a big number.
We know, for example, I think in any insurance line, whether it's in health, whether it's in property, casualty, home, auto theft. When there's thefts and fraud that's happening out there, those dollars are coming out of all of our pockets. And the more that we can educate, more that we can prevent it, the better off we all are. And that's part of our overall mission is to enforce that. So, with that, Mr. Chair, if there are any other questions, I think you have a good overview.
Yeah,
we listed in this document a lot of our accomplishments in 2012, the things that we've done in each of our units. These are just highlights. I want to credit and thank our staff, not only the managers and our deputies, assistant commissioners, but everybody at our department that works day in and day out on behalf of Minnesotans. And then as you can see, just sort of wrapping it all up, we do pride ourselves on protecting consumers, making sure that businesses have fair and good opportunity to grow jobs in Minnesota, to make sure we have a thriving and strong economy in Minnesota, to be able to make sure we have that the department is working at the pace of the marketplace, and that we're a resource for all of you and for the state of Minnesota. And I want to thank everybody for
I think that was a good overview. Yeah, Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you wrap up, Commissioner, nice to see you again.
You too.
Before you leave the table, I'm wondering, do you have a position on the legislature's tendency over the last several sessions to take most, if not all, of licensing fees and put them into the general fund?
You're excused.
Mr. Chair, as I've said a lot, the Department of Commerce has, in terms of not only its own budget but everything that we do, we pride ourselves on making sure that we use the state's resources wisely, that those dollars that do come in and are used for the department are used wisely. I actually, you know, there are some that I wish would be rededicated to the original purpose, which actually supported some of the Department of Commerce's functions. We can have those conversations. But I also defer to those that work on the budget and those that are crunching the numbers. There's large numbers that are out there in terms of the state's deficit, and I have to defer to the governor and the leadership in the House and the Senate and, you know, everybody in terms of, you know, what's the most appropriate thing for those dollars.
Senator Reiner.
Just a short follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I don't ask the question in jest. I do think as a Commerce Committee who works with you on various professions in the state, from realtors to insurance agents, et cetera, that we have some obligation to make sure that the fee individual business people and employees are paying to do something that they're being told is providing oversight for safety and consumer transparency actually goes to provide that, whether it's through your department or through other professionals. So it's this, Mr. Chair, been a burr under my saddle for as long as I've been in the legislature, and I spoke about it on the floor 2 years ago, and hopefully we'll provide more transparency and get those dollars where they ought to go.
Okay. Any further? Let me just mention one thing more, and then we'll let the commissioner go. At one of our meetings, I talked to the concern of mine and a lot of my constituents is this gold and silver stuff. And I know you've been working since we met with the Attorney General's office, and there's too much abuse going on out there in my mind, and I've heard from a lot of people. The good people are the good ones. You know, they're out there, but we want to – I'm not a big pusher of rules and regulations, as most of you know, but in this case, I think there's a lot of bad apples out there, and I'll be looking forward to getting some starting points from you and the Attorney General in that area.
Mr. Chair, I couldn't agree more. Not only with our own complaints, but every, you know, the Attorney General saw some. You and I have had this conversation. I think the most important thing is we, as you had indicated, when there are bad apples, we find the right solution to make sure that that activity is stopped. I often say this, sort of not on my watch, and to the extent that we can, we'll work with you and the Attorney General and everybody to come up with a good, reasonable way to stop some of that bad activity.
And let me say that most of the vendors out there are good, but we got to get at the bad ones. Okay, any further questions? No, I thought what I'd do, if it makes some sense, just for 5 or 10 minutes, is if anybody in the audience that different areas that you represent, if you just wanted to come up and say who you are, and no long speeches, more than 22 seconds, who you represent, and so our committee members can get kind of a feeling and who they're dealing with. Then we'll have a quiz at the end of the program to see how many. So, Johnson, you've been here since 1937, so why don't you?
Mr. Chairman, actually 1977.
Oh, it's close. So. I had the seven right.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, happy new year to you all. It's good to be here. I'm with Bob Johnson, and I run the Insurance Federation of Minnesota. It's a trade association of Minnesota-based companies, property casualty, and then a number of companies that just do business here. So I will be before the committee on all property casualty issues. I also represent not Blue Cross or the HMOs, but a small number of the commercial health insurers that are still in the Minnesota market. So that's the background and the comments.
Just a
Mr.
quick
Chairman.
Question from the Senator.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, you were part of, you know, we worked on legislation last year for no-fault reform, and I know there's a lawsuit, and there was bipartisan 100% pass, but I just wanted if you could give an update on the lawsuit that's as a result of that legislation.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Senator Gazelka is referring to, it actually was Chapter 255 as the session law number. It was the agreed-to no-fault auto reform bill, agreed to between the chiropractors and the insurance industry, the MCA, and then the Insurance Federation of Minnesota. Late in the fall of 2012, a Florida chiropractor filed an injunction in federal district court seeking to stop enforcement of that law. The federal district judge, it's Judge Susan Richard Nelson, issued a 50-page opinion about 10 days ago denying the preliminary injunction, so the matter is still in court. So it is being litigated, but Mr. Chairman, Senator Gazelka did pass the Senate 64-0, and it passed the House 129-0. So we're committed to the law. Its enforcement. We'll do whatever we can do to help support the enforcement of the law.
Thank you.
In that whole area, it's my intention, at least today, I'm thinking about some kind of a no-fault panel that could kind of work over the summer. I don't think we can tackle it all this year, but things have been done in the last couple of sessions, but more has to be done, in my opinion, in that area. And I would look to a couple of our insurance people on this committee, the vice chair and the minority leader, maybe to help with that area, including not just legislators, but people in the industry, and work out some kind of a, if there's a way to compromise more in a no-fault area or whatever. But that, yeah. I want to look at that.
Mr. Chairman, I'll just comment that as I walk away here that the talks and the negotiations between the auto insurers, at least through the Insurance Federation of Minnesota, with the Minnesota Chiropractors Association, have continued post the adjournment of the session. We've met actually even recently, and we will schedule more meetings. Kevin Goodnow.
Yeah. Okay, so you're already meeting. That's fine. I'm not going to create a new group, but I'd like to have the folks there, have maybe Abler from the House and a couple of our members here and Atkins or whoever, participate in those ongoing discussions, okay? Dominic? Anger, why don't you line up? Why don't you guys just kind of line up there real fast? And
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Dominic Scusetto. I'm a contract lobbyist, and it's a pleasure to see you back in charge of the Commerce Committee. I look forward to working with you. I represent a variety of groups. I'll mention them very quickly. I represent the Minnesota Independent Insurance Agents Association, which is 1,000 insurance agencies throughout the state and 5,000 insurance agents and producers and their service representatives. That group is primarily a property casualty association. They sell homeowners, auto insurance. They also sell commercial products, workers' compensation. But they also have representatives in their agencies that sell health insurance and disability products. So they're also very interested in the health insurance exchange. I also represent the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. That's an organization of about 1,500 life and annuity producers throughout the state. Again, a group that primarily sells life insurance products, annuity products, estate planning, and other services, but many of them also sell health insurance, especially in greater Minnesota, where there aren't large brokerages. A lot of independent insurance agents and life insurance agents sell health insurance products as well, so we, again, are interested in the health insurance exchange. I also have the opportunity to represent the Minnesota Dental Association. There are some 2,800 dentists throughout the state, and we occasionally have interests in the Commerce Committee as it relates to, obviously, health insurance and other types of insurance products. And lastly, I represent the Minnesota Psychiatric Society. The state's 500 psychiatrists are an active organization. They do not have a lot of information or issues that are before this committee, but as the session progresses, you may have a wish to avail yourself of their services.
We need some help. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Paul Egger. I represent the Minnesota Association of Realtors. We're a trade association with approximately 16,500 members, and those are the realtors throughout the state of Minnesota. It's a pleasure to be back in front of the Commerce Committee. Some of the issues that I'll be visiting with members of the committee on, anything that has to do with Chapter 82, which is the real estate chapter and statute, anything that impacts real estate licensees. You heard a presentation from Commissioner Rothman, and he mentioned that one of the occupations regulated by the department or licensed by the department are realtors, and real estate licensees are brokers and salespeople. We'll also be in this committee, I'm sure, working with you throughout the session on various housing-related issues. You mentioned foreclosure in your introductory remarks, Mr. Chairman. We'd certainly look forward to working with you and the other members as bills come forward. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Catherine Commit. I'm the Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, which is a trade association that represents Minnesota's 7 nonprofit health plans, also commonly referred to as HMOs. I'm having a couple of my colleagues who represent individual health plans up here as well. I'll just mention that we provide coverage, collectively provide coverage to 4.3 million people. And just an interesting tidbit, on average, or every day, the average claims paid out totals over $48 million. So we are paying out claims every day, 365 days of the year, to keep our providers paid so that they can keep seeing patients and keep improving the care of our Minnesotans. Our health plans employ about 20,000 people throughout the state, not just in the Twin Cities area, but all over the state. And that it's important to know that Minnesota's health plans are recognized nationally as for all of the collaborative work that they've done to improve the health of Minnesotans, including the work that they've done on the Triple Aim. And I just wanted to say that we look forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman, and all of the members of the committee on the exchange legislation, as well as all the other health plan-related issues that may come before your committee. And I'll just turn it over to a couple of my colleagues. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Lynn Nelson. I am Director of Legislative Affairs at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota, Minnesota's leading health plan with 2.7 million of those members across the entire state of Minnesota. Our headquarters is in Eagan in Senator Jim Carlson's district, and we are happy to be there. We also have the same concerns that Catherine Commit brought up, and we'll be happy to work with you on the Minnesota Health Insurance Exchange and other issues around health insurance.
Hi, I'm Barbara Cox from Health Partners. I'm the Director of Government Relations there, and we are a unique system in that we are both a care delivery system and a health plan. We recently had Park Nicollet join forces with us as a care delivery system, so we have many clinics across the metro area in addition to our health plan. I would just like to say that as we go forward, we'll be interested in lots of different issues, and we will try to give you that information from the framework of the Triple Aim, which is a concept that we talk a lot about in healthcare, and that is quality of care, patient experience, and affordability. So we'll try to give you the information on your proposals as it relates to those three things. And to Dominic's point about the psychiatrist, we're hoping to bring the region's therapy dogs here this session in case we all need them as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jay McLaren, and I'm the Director of Government Relations at Medica. So of the people who are insured in Minnesota, we insure about 1.5 million. We're the second largest insurance carrier in Minnesota. We process over $4 billion worth of claims every year. And we employ around 1,300 full-time employees, primarily in the West Metro, and we are headquartered in Minnetonka. Not going to go over what my colleagues have described, but look forward to working with the committee on healthcare reform issues.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure you'll all be visiting with our committee members here pretty night and day and day and night and for the next couple of weeks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Phil Griffin, and I also represent a health plan, preferred one. We like to think of ourselves as the lithe, nimble chimpanzee in the corner with the four gorillas you've just met. We are a small health plan owned by Fairview and North Memorial Hospitals, and we really do look forward to working with you and the members of the committee. I'm also a contract lobbyist. As you've met a number of those, I represent Johnson & Johnson, Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Minnesota Association of Community Health Centers that treat poor people here in the state, and America's Health Insurance Plans, which is the National Trade Association for the Health Insurers, representing over 200 million insured lives in both the indemnity world and supplemental benefits world and HMO, managed care world. I also represent the March of Dimes. This is National Birth Defects Information Prevention, National Birth Defects Prevention Month, and we'll be sharing with you lots of information about how to lower health care costs in one of the major areas, which is birth defects. Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Phil. Anybody else want to say hello? We got the auto dealers. And
we'll give you a break from the insurers for a few minutes. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Alyssa Shalander. I am here with my colleague, Jacob Milner, and we represent the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. We represent all of the franchise new car dealers in Minnesota, so we have 100% membership, anybody who has a franchise to sell new car or cars and trucks. Are members of our organization. If you don't mind, I just thought we would have Jacob give you a few bullet points about the economic impact of our members in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Again, my name is Jacob Milner, and I'm with the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association. Here's a few interesting statistics about our industry. There are 366 new car dealers in Minnesota, which generated approximately $8 billion worth of sales in 2011. The auto dealers employ approximately 16,000 people in this state. The annual payroll for all the new auto dealers in the state of Minnesota is about $700 million. And auto deal sales generated approximately $514 million in state sales tax each year. So that's just a quick overview of the auto industry for you.
Mr. Chair,
coming back pretty good, isn't it?
I was just going to say we rebounded in 2012 as far as sales go. We had a pretty disastrous 4 years between 2011 and 2008 to 2011, but industry analysts are expecting a good, healthy 2013. So we're looking forward to that.
Good. That's good.
Good. Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
I'm Sarah Pasek. I work at the McGranche Law Firm, and I do most of our Commerce Committee work with my colleague Joe Bagnoli, who's not here right now. We represent a couple clients that come in front of you. We represent the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, which are the private liquor stores and bars, and we also represent the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, which are municipal liquor stores and some bars. We also represent Sprint Wireless. I don't know if Wireless will be in front of your committee or Senator Sparks. And we represent MACTA, which is the Minnesota Association of Community Telecommunications Administrators. These are the local governments that issue cable franchises within your communities, operate the PEG systems, and that sort of thing. So a few different clients that will come in front of your committee.
That's going to be part of the quiz. What's MACTA? A little later.
Yeah.
Joel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and despite my boyish appearance, this is now my 33rd session here at the Capitol, going back to the time when the chairman was in the House. I have a number of clients that I represent in front of the Commerce Committee and other committees. I represent a large employer in Senator Brown's district, United States Distilled Products, which is the largest blender of alcohol products in Minnesota. I represent the Congress of Minnesota Resorts, and we have a number of tourism and commerce-related issues, your small mom-and-pop resorts, which we used to have over 3,500 resorts in Minnesota. We're now down to about 900, and we want to keep every single one of them. That's our access, many people's access to the lakes. I'm probably the only contract lobbyist in the room that doesn't represent insurance companies. That's probably because I represent the Minnesota Association for Justice. I represent a group of about 900 lawyers that represent consumers that get benefits from insurance companies, and we tangle every once in a while with my friends in the insurance industry. But as you see, they're all here. It's a fair fight. Mr. Chairman, look forward to working with the committee on all the issues that that you're going to deal with. I don't do healthcare work, thankfully, and that's not an advertisement. but look forward to working with the committee, particularly in the no-fault area. We have long wanted to update our no-fault automobile statute. It was adopted in 1973.
Yeah, we got to take a look.
The wage loss was $200. It's now all the way up to $250. It's never been changed. It needs to be updated badly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Joel, when did you serve in the House? What years?
In 84.
Okay. From the Moorhead?
Yep, Moorhead. Area. Born and raised.
Did you have hair back then?
This job
will get to you, I know.
Slightly more hair. I've been a lobbyist a lot longer than I was a legislator, but I appreciated the opportunity to serve, particularly with you,
Thanks
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So. Get that line down pretty good. Phil. And, yeah. Phil, I know for sure.
I'll introduce one of my clients. My name is Phil Stahlberger. I'm with the Fagery Baker Daniels Law Firm, representing numerous clients, both here and the Health Committee and other committees, including the Reinsurance Association of America. It's a group of roughly 45 reinsurers across the entire country. I also represent Federated Insurance in the great city of Owatonna, Minnesota. Also represent Medical Transportation Management, which does non-emergency medical transportation here in Minnesota and throughout the country. And Prime Therapeutics, business located in Senate District 51, Senator Carlson's district. Also represent TracFone Wireless, in addition to one company you may have heard of called Target. Target Corporation employs about 31,000 team members in the entire state of Minnesota. They are looking at lots of the health care reform issues around the entire country. And lastly, I represent the Minnesota Land Title Association and have with me a representative from the Land Title Association, and she will give a little more detail on what the Land Title Association does.
Thank you.
For that, explain to the committee how your career got started, Mr. Stover.
I can do that, Mr. Chairman. I will say, and I want to give a big thank you to all the staff here in the Commerce Committee, both partisan staff, nonpartisan staff, et cetera. I started here, this is my 20th session at State Capitol. Started working for the Commerce Committee back in 1994, and also did a short stint at the Department of Commerce, and then did a number of years at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and now I'm at Fager Baker Daniels. So thank you for allowing me to give you my resume, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Nancy Landmark. I am co-chair of the Legislative Committee and a member of the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Land Title Association. We will be in front of you from time to time this year, and I hope sincerely that you will consider us a resource for any matters that come before you that relate to real estate, real estate closings, or title insurance. These are our areas of specialization. Our organization has been around now since 1908 here in Minnesota, and as you can imagine, that gives us a great deal of pride for our ongoing activities. We represent title insurers, we represent title insurance agents, we represent closing agents, and we represent various associated businesses. In that capacity, I want to let you know that among our membership are a great many small businesses spread throughout the state of Minnesota. In fact, I asked our secretary to run the numbers for me, and he gave them to me this morning. 78% of our members have a gross revenue of less than $500,000 per year. We act on behalf of people as the independent third party who collects documents and funds and disperses them according to the settlement statement and agreement of the parties so that transactions close and real estate moves smoothly. In addition to that, we work regularly with the county recorders and examiners and registrars of title to make sure that the real estate records are maintained in an appropriate way, that documents are filed appropriately, and that that real estate record is sufficient to give evidence of adequate, marketable title. Those are our roles, and our goal is to represent our members with this committee on any matters that may impinge upon those activities.
I just want to add that I met with Nancy and some of her colleagues a few weeks ago, and we had very good roundtable discussion, and it was very educational to me, and the committee looks forward, it will be looking forward to hearing from the title insurance people later.
We look forward to the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks, Phil. There's a lot of interest in this committee, isn't there? Remember?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Interesting to be on this side of the table for a change. My name is Aaron Cocky, and I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Minnesota Association of Farm Mutual Insurance Companies. We have 93 member companies in this state, insure over two-thirds of the farm. Most of what we'll do is the property casualty insurance stuff. So many of you, I'm sure, know Marcus Marsh. He's retiring. I'm replacing him. So you'll see Marcus and I together this session, and then he'll ride off into the sunset. So thank you for the opportunity.
We're happy to see you on that side of the table. some of us are. For the committee's...
I guess that's my cue.
Let me just say, he used to sit here for a few years. Yeah. You said you're happy to be on that side.
So yes, Mr. Chairman, indeed.
You're up.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we wanted to give you a break from insurance, but now we're back. My name is Robin Rowan. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Insurance and Financial Services Council. MIFC members write life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability insurance, annuities, mutual funds. We provide about 65,000 jobs across the state, including the thousands of agents and brokers that sell our products all over Minnesota. I will be bringing before you this year an incredibly exciting bill that will increase consumer protections for annuity suitability. So I look forward to working with all of you, and I'm sure you're all looking forward to hearing about it. Thank you.
But you've got a big, this agents and brokerage stuff is, that we're going to be dealing with is huge in this committee. Is that correct?
That is correct. Mr. Chairman, are you referring to the health insurance?
Yeah.
My folks don't do health insurance. Some life insurers write dental insurance, so we just have a very small...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes, which we're kind of happy about.
That's Joe's... where's Joe? Where's Joe? Yeah, that's his... We did talk about that. Too much stuff.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Kate Johansson. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and its 2,400 business members, 80% of which are small businesses, and all of which cumulatively employ about 500,000 people throughout the state. At the Chamber, I manage healthcare, transportation, and civil law issues. Most immediately relevant to this committee are healthcare issues, and I wanted to thank the Chair for his focus, as well as Commissioner Rothman's overview of ACA implementation and how the health insurance exchange will be impacting the state. The Chamber represents nearly every stakeholder in that discussion, and certainly we hope that you view us as a resource as we all move forward working on that issue together. Thank you.
And the Chamber would agree that we're better off, or I don't, better off is the word, but doing the state version of it than having the federal government dictate what we do in Minnesota. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, yes.
That's the Chamber of Commerce position, that what we're doing is the correct way.
Mr. Chair and members, the Chamber's position for the last 2 years has been that Minnesota should legislatively establish its own insurance exchange.
Very good. Next up.
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Cassidy with the law firm of Leonard Street and Dinard. I chair the government relations practice. Thank you for having us today. Just a little coverage of who our clients are and who you'll be having in front of you over the course of the next few months. Hopefully we won't see too much of us here, but first and foremost, we represent State Farm Insurance, which is a property casualty insurer, the largest in the state, insuring many of your homes and autos. We represent Children's Hospitals, who will have some health insurance exchange issues as we go forward with the adoption of the health insurance exchange legislation. We also, Commissioner Rothman reminded me, we have the Minnesota Truckers Association, as well as railroads, who their biodiesel is exempt from the industry having to use. So we deal a lot with the Commerce Department on those issues. I think someone brought up precious metals earlier. We work with the Rixman companies, Payday America, Pawn America. We're in the pawn business and precious metals business as well. We also represent the Institute for Scrap Metal Recycling Industries in Minnesota. Those are scrap yards that are located in many of your communities that scrap not only just scrap metal, but also automobiles. There's been legislation in front of the legislature over the course of the 5 years regulating that industry as well. Finally, we have kind of a mishmash of insurers as well. Assurion, which, if I can pull this out, fixes these for you. They insure them and fix them. They have had legislation before this committee over the course, I believe, of the last 4 years. And then finally, I'll mention that we also do work on behalf of Southern Wines and Spirits, which is a liquor wholesaler in the state of Minnesota, and obviously you are purview for liquor regulation in the state of Minnesota. With that, I have Jeremy Essenson with me from our firm as well, who you'll see a lot of as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I might say that Mr. Cassidy and I have met on a couple occasions on some of this precious metal stuff, so we've got the discussion is going, and I think you will agree with me that we probably should have some more rules and regulations in there, and not to beat up people, but to keep them straight and narrow. But anyway, we had that discussion. Okay, who's up? Let's go. We've got another 5 or 10 minutes. We go to.
Yes, my name is Teresa Kuvas. I represent the Minnesota Bankers Association. We represent about 95% of the banks in Minnesota. And Minnesota is actually number 3 in the country for having the largest amount of banks. We have close to 400 banks in the state, so we represent 95% of them. Banks of all sizes, we have the large members, the small members, community banks in all of your areas, Owatonna, Northfield, Duluth. I think we've met with most of you throughout time to time, and we'll continue to. We obviously have worked over the past 5-6 years on foreclosure bills, and we will continue to work again this year. We've passed so many bipartisanly over those years, about 29 bills I think that we've passed collectively, with about 85 to 90 provisions that have helped Minnesotans, and are definitely willing to work if there's more that needs to be done. Banks in Minnesota, we actually employ about 50,000 people in the state, and some of the smaller banks do represent, actually have about 10 employees, so it does have a wide variety of employees throughout the state. So,
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Mara Humphrey. I'm the Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Minnesota Credit Union Network. The Minnesota Credit Union Network represents the state's 134 credit unions and over 1.5 million members throughout Minnesota. Look forward to working with you. One of our big issues is two-thirds of the state's credit unions are state chartered. So want to make sure that we can maintain a strong state chartering system within the state of Minnesota for those credit unions. We also have, obviously we'll be working on the housing and foreclosure issues. Those issues impact all of our credit unions. We've already worked on a number of bills. Willing to work if there's additional opportunities to do something else, but that's something that does impact that, and a lot of consumer laws impact all the state's credit unions. So look forward to working with everyone on the committee. Looking forward to a good session here in the Commerce Committee. Thanks.
Amara, just on the home mortgages that you make, how many stay in-house that the credit unions make, and how many do you farm out? And on the seconds on their homes, you must house those, don't you?
Mr. Chairman and members, I could definitely pull up some specific numbers for you. I don't have those for you right now. I do know disproportionately, credit unions tend to hold on and put the mortgages in their own portfolios. It
so
doesn't
your,
mean
your membership,
I mean,
your membership owns the mortgages.
You know, not always. Sometimes they do go on the secondary market. I would say disproportionately, though, they tend to hold them.
I'd like to know, excuse me, those numbers, because these foreclosure things would hit your members, because they're the owners.
Okay. Absolutely. Mr. Chairman and members, I think whenever we're looking at these foreclosure issues, I mean, when we look at the cost that it's going to cost in terms of additional regulations being added on, it's kind of, we have to weigh out the benefit to the member to be able to help work out a specific situation versus the cost to the rest of the members if there's costly additional regulations. That cost, unfortunately, does get passed on to members because we are member-owned.
Okay.
Next up. Mr. Chairman and members, my name is David Skillbred. I represent the Independent Community Bankers of Minnesota, a statewide association of community banks. The members are all small banks. Our bylaws prohibit members to be publicly traded, so they are all privately held institutions. Three out of four community banks in Minnesota are sub-S institutions. So when you think of a community bank, you really ought to think of a small business. Most of those community banks also are second, third, fourth generations. There's about 200 banks that are over 100 years old in Minnesota. Our niche is really small business lending and home mortgages and consumer loans. A recent study by the SBA said that community banks across the country provide about 35% of the total dollar amount of loans to small businesses under $1 million. Despite having just 12% of the assets. So that's kind of who we are as far as our characteristics go, and especially to the new members that are on this committee and haven't had too much experience with banking or financial institutions. Financial institutions, of course, is that broad umbrella under which credit unions, community banks, big banks, insurance companies, and a lot of other entities all exist. When you hear someone on the radio say, banks are doing this or banks are doing that, be suspicious ask questions, think about what they're saying, because an overgeneralization like that typically isn't true. As far as the characteristics of our community banks go, just to tick off a couple, we're customer-focused, we provide face-to-face service, we know our customers over generations. We want our transactions to be such that those individuals can come back to us and will come back to us and their children and their families. We're not looking for just a profit today, but a relationship over decades. We make local decisions with a local commitment. And finally, we do consider character in our loans. And I'll mention one last thing, and that is that with respect to regulations of any type, it's really, really becoming difficult for community banks to survive in this regulatory atmosphere. One of our discussions that we talk about a lot is how big do you need to be in order to be able to comply with all the rules? We have banks with as little as $19 million in assets. We have a little bank up in northern Minnesota, a branch bank. They have two employees. Probably doesn't make sense to keep that open, but they're dedicated to that area, so they want to. But with all the new rules and the regs, it's becoming more and more difficult to be a community banker, especially if you're one of the smaller banks. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the chance to talk with you today.
If you've got any ideas in that area, in that streamlining, all of these rules and regs, all the bankers up there, credit unions, big banks, little banks, let us know. You know, without jeopardizing, obviously, the consumers, but maybe there's stuff on there that's just so burdensome and unnecessary, and I don't know what they are today, but help us, okay? So maybe we can streamline some of that stuff. So you've got our word that we'll, you know, we'll try to look, we'll look, help us look into that. Okay, anybody else want to say hello today? Hello.
Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members. My name is Shep Harris. I'm with the law firm of Frederickson and Byron, and this is going on my 15th year up here at the Capitol, working with members on both sides of the aisle. It's been a pleasure. Real quick and briefly, you'll see myself up here representing two groups in workers' comp self-insurance. One is the Minnesota Self-Insurance Group, which represents over 10,000 employees across the state, from construction workers to healthcare employees, and then also the Minnesota County's Intergovernmental Trust. I've had the pleasure of working with a couple members on this committee on their behalf even last session. And then you heard earlier from Mr. Johnson with the Insurance Federation, he mentioned Kevin Goodnow, who is my colleague at Frederickson and Byron, who works on behalf of our health and human service clients and will be working on a number of issues, whether it's with the optometrists or the chiropractors or Minnesotans who have autism regarding the Affordable Care Act. Look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Greg Sather, Executive Vice President of the Professional Insurance Agents of Minnesota. I was born and raised near Franklin, Minnesota. I know at least one of you knows where that is. I currently live in New Prague. Our members are small business owners, independent agents in your communities across the state. They write primarily property and casualty insurance, but many of them also write life and health insurance. So we are very interested in the healthcare legislation that will be going through the legislature this year, and certainly we'll be tracking and following that. But look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Sandy Naren. I'm with the Messerly and Kramer Law Firm, and I have three clients that may potentially have interest before your committee. Hopefully none of them well, but they may possibly. One of them is St. Jude Medical. St. Jude Medical is headquartered in Minnesota and has over 2,000 employees here. Another client I do work for is U.S. Bank. I've had the honor of representing them since they were First Bank back in the 80s, so it's been over 30 years I've done work for them. And I also do work for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. That is a trade association of the 12 largest car manufacturers in the world. So those are the three that potentially could come before you. The car manufacturers have a very good relationship with the auto dealers, and we work very closely together, hopefully continue that, on a number of different issues. And this will be my 36th year working before the Minnesota legislature. So I've never been an advocate for term limits for legislators, but you may want to consider them for lobbyists someday. Thank you.
I'm Joe Lally. I'm a vice president at Delta Dental, and we provide dental claims administration for 4.2 million people. We have annual premium of $1.2 billion, 90% of which, more than 90% of which, is paid out in to dentists in terms of reimbursement. You may wonder, with a population of the state of about 5 million, how we could have 4.2 million members. They're distributed across the country. Minnesota has approximately, I think, 19 Fortune 500 companies, and we provide dental claims administration for many of them. Most of them have more employees outside of Minnesota than in Minnesota. Where our offices are in the Mill City District in Minneapolis, and our administrative offices are in Eagan, in Senator Carlson's district. I'm a constituent of the chairman, and I hope that
helps.
You're
fortunate.
I have a wonderful representation at the Capitol. Bert Mackesy, who's the former Commerce Commissioner, is one of our lobbyists, and our other lobbyist is Jennifer Breitinger from JWB Associates. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Joe. Joe. All right. Last, probably.
Probably, Mr. Chairman, members. My name's Doug Franzen. I'm with the Franzen Moore lobbying firm. My colleagues are Vic Moore, who some of you may know, and Brian McDaniel, and to my right, Christian Franzen. We have a variety of measures that are of interest to our clients that come before this committee. Some of them most frequently will be in the property casualty insurance area. That's houses and cars. Our clients are the Property Casualty Insurers of America, a large national trade association, Allstate Insurance, and American Family Insurance. Some of our clients are members of the Federation, and we work closely with them on matters. Some are not. We also represent Blue Cross, and when we get tired of insurance, we represent groups like Haskell's and Certix. So, and finally, Mr. Chairman, in another life, I'm also the chair of the Hennepin County Bar Association Government Relations Committee, and in this capacity, I know it's not before this committee, but it will get before the floor, please support adequate judicial funding.
Magnoli, you know, we don't want you to talk anyway. Okay, we don't. Just say hello, Joe, for a second.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Joe Bagnoli with the law firm of McGrand Shea, Carnival Strong and Lamb. I think earlier my colleague Sarah Pasick came up. Our firm, and you'll see myself and Sarah representing retail alcohol, Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, and Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association, as well as a variety of other clients that, you don't have telecom anymore, so may or may not come before the committee.
I will still see enough of you, yeah, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Judy Cook with Cook Girard Associates, and we get to spend a lot of time in this committee, as we have over a number of years. We represent the Minnesota Bankers Association, the Minnesota Association of Collectors, who are the debt collectors. We represent Health Partners, Surly Brewing. I'm just trying to think, just a variety of folks that you will have the opportunity and will have the opportunity to visit with you about. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. First of all, I want to thank the committee members for this long stay here this afternoon, but I think you'll agree that it's kind of worth seeing who the players are and who they represent, and so I appreciate that. Wednesday, we start this health insurance exchange thing with the overview, and as I mentioned it 10 times today, that's extremely important stuff. We're going to start at noon. I wish that we'd all get here on time, and and get right to, down to business. So with that, anything else to be said? With that, the committee is adjourned.